Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Sounds good.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're back with us tonight here on Empowered Communication. Hey, you guys, we've got some really exciting news, and I want to be the first to tell you about it. Dr. Allen has been doing a show for many, many years at the Odyssey Theater, and I'm sure many of you have been to the show, but we've gotten too large for the Odyssey Theater. And so we are really happy, pleased, and proud to let you know that Dr. Allen, starting September 14th, 2015, will be at a new location for that Monday night show. And that location is the Marriott, at 6333 Bristol Parkway, Culver City. If you have questions, you can go to www.drpatallen.com and find out more about it. Anyway, again, that date is September 14th, 2015, and she will be doing her fabulous relationship seminar, and we're looking forward to that. And once again, I want to thank our sponsor, The One Institute. We will talk a little bit more about them later, but now, the moment you've all been waiting for, Dr. Allen, you are on the air.
I'm happy to be here, and my voice is better. I'm recovering from my unfortunate fumigation and looking forward to the show.
Yes, I am so glad, and what's so cool is that we have got some questions already, but we have a caller. Let's see who this caller is. They've been trying to call for a while. All right. Caller, you are on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you for picking up my phone call. I do have a question for Dr. Pat Allen, and it's regarding about attracting the right type of men, because I guess I don't know how to express vulnerability. And I'm keeping attracting men that are more like casual drug user and drinkers in general. And it's something I think it has to reflect on me than the individual themselves.
Where are you hunting? If you're hunting...
Go ahead.
Where do you hunt?
I don't hunt at the bar. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. So, and I'm assuming that it has to do with me and my vulnerability.
Well, but I still want to know, I usually recommend 5 minutes a day of flirting. Four of those times, you're walking about life, going through restaurants, grocery stores, wherever you are, and once being planted, whether it's getting your car washed or or Starbucks. So where do you flirt to attract men?
I'm at the gym.
Well,
walking on the street, doing groceries, just doing regular errands on a regular base, practically in the bookstore, libraries, probably universities as well. So those are the areas that I'm normally in there.
What do you do for your once-a-week presentation, sitting or standing, somewhere?
It would be at the coffee shop, reading and doing work, like on my computer.
Okay. Is this coffee shop where you go, is it a place where the kind of men you want to meet are going to be there?
I would say yes.
Okay. For example, I don't know what your age is. Is it a coffee shop by a college?
No, it's actually downtown, the core downtown.
It's what town? What kind of downtown?
So you used it's a word. Just like Did downtown, you? Like by the water, like by the ocean.
Is it? Does it have class?
Yes, it does.
Okay, because the truth of the matter is, I recommend you flirt wherever you laugh, wherever you're happy, and wherever the mm-hmm. kind of people you want to be with are.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
is that place that kind of place?
Yes, it is. But I'm still attracting,
well,
even
no,
like for years.
No,
yeah.
I want to know who you're presenting to. Presenting, which is a term applied to monkeys, animals attracting mates. Do, do you look in the eyes of the men you want and smile?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because when you say you attract, it isn't who you attract. It's who you resonate off of.
In other words, who you're looking at, who you're connecting with, like with your eyes and with your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. You go into, let's say, and this is a little bit stereotypical, but you go into the coffee shop. And there's a guy there in biker clothes, and there's a guy there in the suit. Are you attracted to and looking at the biker guy? Or are you looking at the man in the suit? Who are you doing?
Presenting to.
Yeah, just putting out the energy to.
It would be businessmen. They're all wearing suits the majority of the time. That's where I'm presenting myself. Or in yoga classes.
Wait a minute. Gyms and yoga classes are for persons doing things on themselves.
Okay.
I'm talking about places where people are listening to music, lectures, where they're watching the ducks in the pond. It's where you are looking to enjoy an experience where somebody that would like to the same experience would be.
In other words, if you were really into the ballet, you probably wouldn't be looking for a boyfriend at a bowling alley.
Okay.
So what kind of, do you pick with your eyes or your ears?
I pick with my ears.
But how can you pick with your ears if you don't flirt with the people that basically you want to magnetize into coming across the room, across the dance floor? Do you dance?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you hunt there.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, I do hunt when I'm dancing. Yes, I do.
Okay. Because many women are too shy to present eyeballs to eyeballs. Do you feel okay looking into men's eyes and staying there for a few seconds in order to signal them that you're receptive, available, and you're respecting of their approach?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because some people wait for men to pick on you. And the truth of the matter is, oftentimes drunks and nerds will pick you,
mm-hmm.
and you won't push them away.
No, that's not the. It's like in the relationship, I find out they're.
Yes,
heavy
I know
user.
That. That's
okay.
Good. So you are okay signaling men to come over and relate to you.
Yes.
And you're going to places where you like to be with people like you.
Yes.
And what is your ratio of success? 1 out of 5? 2 out of 10?
I would say 3 out of 5.
That's horrendously successful.
And then, yeah, and afterwards I find out other things about them that just turn me off.
I've got news for you. That's why I ask you to date them three times. Because very often, the first time, they don't show well because they're scared, shy, whatever. The second time, they will often clean up some of their behavior. And the third time, you can pretty well figure out whether you do have chemistry and a little bit of compatibility might show. So do you give men three opportunities, unless they're wearing an orange suit with numbers on the back, do you give them an opportunity to present well?
How, I guess, you're an expert in this area when dealing with feelings and emotion, and I have trouble dealing, expressing my feelings and emotion because I'm an alpha by day, and by night I have a problem getting to my feminine side, which is my vulnerability, and I find that I struggle with that, and I don't know if you have a book that you recommended or any exercise that I can work
there's
on.
There's a book that I wrote with one of my students, Jamie Hanrahan, and it's called Dating Advice for Alpha Women.
Okay.
You could look at, Kelly, where can they go for that?
You can go to www.amazon.com and see if you can find it there.
Okay.
Al, I want to say something about alpha. Alpha is a 24/7 operation. You're born. And that just means you have a smart brain and you have a sensitive heart. You see? And during the day, when you're doing your thinking and making money and whatever, be sure you desensitize after work for 30 to 60 minutes by going shopping, but without buying, by going to a swim class, by going somewhere where you get back in touch with your instinctive body, because you will be stuck in your head, which automatically shows on your face and sets your brain to picking people. Your best bet for finding your man is going where you would go to enjoy your body. It might be the beach. It might be playing tennis, golf, whatever. So when you speak about your alpha nature, you're always a thinker-feeler. It's what's on duty at the moment. And when you prepare to go flirting, you've got to get into your body, your feelings. So it might be a massage, it might be swimming, it might be going to the gym to play the gym, not to, quote, exercise, which is very thinking and very brain-oriented.
Oh, is that so? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes.
I thought exercise is tuning in with yourself, but I didn't realize it's considered to be analytical in a way.
The brain is very... No, your brain will pick with your eyes. You will look at the business suits, guesstimate the income, look at the car. You see what I mean?
Okay.
So
yoga is okay, even though it's still considered to be an exercise?
What is?
Yoga.
Well, yoga is making love to yourself, not to somebody else.
Oh. So I'm doing everything for myself.
And that's
okay,
not
I'm understanding it a little bit better.
What that does for a man looking at you, because their intuition is so good, they know when you're in your feelings and they know when you're in your thinking. I was talking to a group of men and they said they like to hunt at laundromats where women are not hunting. They're not dressed to the nines, because real men want to be with the woman for sensual and sexual stability. And they will go to work and make the money that will pay for them to have you. So my want is that you think instinctively, where would you smile? Where would your body be happy? Do you see? And flirt there.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. All right, Dr. Allen, we have another one for you. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Thanks for being patient. Do you have a question?
Hi, thank you. This is John of the John and Denise couple.
Oh, good. Oh, hi there.
Hi, Pat. All is well. I'm just in heaven because she doesn't nag and she doesn't talk too much. I just love that.
I got it. So what you're saying is you're enjoying her physical presence without too much of her intellectual genius.
Yes, I didn't realize how much an alpha male enjoys just a woman sitting there listening to me. I just want to buy her a new car right now.
I got it.
Just by her listening. It's been wonderful.
Good. Do you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, Pat. I have
what
a question.
Is it?
In Staying Married and Loving It, I was reading about negotiating.
Oh, yes.
And,
see, there's three
and,
ways
Pat,
to deal.
What are some of the things that we negotiate?
Okay. First, I want to make a grand overview statement. There are only three ways to deal with people verbally. Intimidate them with fear, seduce them with guilt, and negotiate with love. So in negotiating your relationship, you talk about time alone without each other, how much, we time, how much time together with no one else, including cell phones, including computers, TVs, and all that, and how much time do you two want to be with other couples or other groups of people? How much time? That's one. The second one is space. Now, I personally don't think it's smart to live together without being at least engaged. And that has nothing to do with necessarily getting legally married. Mating, for example, is being engaged. If you don't want to legally marry, have the ring on her finger for the honor of it, and basically negotiate, are you going to live together or are you going to live in your own place? What are you going to do for maintaining your property? Who's going to watch the plumbing? Who's going to be in charge of how the chores, the cooking, the cleaning? You negotiate the way you share those things. And then there's the ever-popular money. My money, your money, our money. Who pays the bills if you're living together and engaged? Or how do you deal with the dating expense or the traveling expenses? Are you dollar-for-dollar input, or are you percentages? Say, for example, one of you, whether it's a man or the woman, and I do this for gay couples and lesbians, it's all same thing. It's how do you pay for your entertainment, your travel, when you're dating, or when you're married, or when you're mated, or in a engagement. So how does it handle one way or the other? And then you have play, non-sexual play, I, we, and us. But the I is what you don't want. I don't want you to be on the computer every time you come home. I don't want you to be talking to your girlfriends on the phone all day. I don't want you to drink too much. I don't want you to eat too much. So I is what you don't want in your partner. We, in the non-sexual area, is maybe making up a list of things you want to do that are not sexual. You want to go to a tennis match, or you want to take up a flamenco dance, you want to take up salsa. And then there's us. What do you want to do with other human beings? Want to join a bridge club? And then the ever popular sex. Is there anything sexually that you're not comfortable with or do not want in your relationship? That comes under, I don't want this in our relationship. And then, of course, you're sexual. Now, sexual is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. Making love, intercourse, is a very, very special form of sexuality. And I believe that before you have intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, that you negotiate monogamy, continuity, and longevity, the goal of the relationship. Are you aiming towards a marriage? Are you aiming towards mating and monogamy? Do you want to be just two people? I have couples, people, that want to have an open sexual marriage or relationship. Now, I may not want that, you may not want that, but they do. And I'm not a moralist, I'm a therapist. I only have to report child abuse, elder abuse, financial or otherwise, and disabled adult abuse. So I mind my business, and I assist them in setting up their negotiation for non-sexual play and sexual play. Is that what you needed, John?
Man, that was more than I needed, Pat.
Oh, really?
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying my relationship so much better.
Good.
Denise is the first woman I haven't slept with in the second or third date. We've been together almost 4 months, and I really see her as a person, as a friend, and
that's
just beautiful.
So good.
I'm just so glad I ran into you.
Good.
Ran into you at this time in my life.
Thank you so much. I teach virtue through science.
Yes.
Okay.
You sure did that.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a nice evening.
You too. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. I'm the person who called before, having given the hi-bye letter a little too early.
Okay.
And I apologize. There's a little bit of a delay when I talk to you because I'm on an internet-based phone. But my question is, I'm glad you're talking about alphas, because in retracing some of our conversations, I think I've probably revealed a little bit too much of my alpha-ness, and maybe that's
what... Wait a minute. Which part? Your feminine, your heart, your feelings, or your thinking? Which did you overgive?
Well, originally, I did my heart, because I had a dream. I'll try and keep this short, because it's kind of long. I had a dream that I was going to meet someone with his characteristics before he called me. So when I went to meet with him, I just felt like it was like, I don't want to say divine connection, but it just felt so comfortable. I was just so calm, and just all my defenses
but
were down.
Did you do good or feel good? Did you talk from your brain or your heart?
Totally my heart.
Okay.
Originally.
What happened after original was done? Did you climb up into your head?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was your purpose there?
Well, I started seeing signs that things were working out very well, and, you know, he's busy, and
you mean
maybe
you weren't negotiating?
And our negotiations fell through, and also he revealed to me that he still has feelings for his ex.
So he was not really...
Who divorced him 2 years ago.
Okay, so he wasn't really compatible.
Well, oddly, he is. You would say he's not compatible?
No, I'm hearing you say that he was not available to be compatible with you in building. He was still in attachment to someone else.
Okay. Well, I guess I found that out later.
What?
And then I kind of gave him a hard time about that, and now I'm feeling bad about that. I kind of told him, you know, I wouldn't have been intimate with you had I known, and on and on and on.
Wait a minute. Did you talk about monogamy? Did you talk about...
Yes, originally we did. Originally, he's the one who said, let's get married, game over.
No, that's not compatibility. That's long-term goal. Compatibility, are you emotionally, intellectually, socially, financially, sexually ready to be monogamous with me? Are you complete with any old relationships, your ex-wife, your girlfriend?
Asked him all that even before we met, and he assured me up and down that he's available. He had been contacting me on the internet for 9 months, and he didn't have enough information filled out, so I kept telling him, no, I'm not comfortable. And then finally he put a little more information. I was like, okay, and I was able to verify that he is who he says he is, because I, Googled his cell phone number, and I kind of put a few things together, so I felt safe enough to meet him. So he just kept assuring me, all the different things. I did make an effort to, check this out even before I met him.
But how did you intellectually find out that he was still emotionally attached to someone else? Did you ask the question? Where did that come from?
He told me, we were talking one evening, and he said, I still have feelings for my ex.
That's him finding out something within himself, honestly telling you. Did you get mad at him, or did you say, I understand, I will not have sex with you again until you're ready to be in a relationship with me? We don't always know everything about ourselves until we come up to the test. And that's usually you find somebody that you believe is ready, you're ready, and they're ready, and then you find out you're not done. You see, attachment problems come in two styles, anxiety and avoidant. The good ones are secure. I'm done with my ex. I'm ready and available. I feel it. I think it. I'm doing it. That's very nice. But anxiety is when you're not done and you find out and you tell your partner, and then you have to decide, are we going to back off of our relationship and just socialize, date, including other people, because you're not monogamous, she's or he's part of your deal, you see? Did you get angry with him when he found out this secret about himself?
I said, fair enough, but then I made the comment, I probably wouldn't have been intimate with you had I known.
But he may not have known.
Yes, and that's why I'm feeling bad, is because I judged him.
I appreciate that. What's going on with the relationship? Is it done?
Well, I can see that he's looked at my profile a couple times this week, but he hasn't called me.
And how long? How long?
Oh, the last I saw him was maybe a couple weeks ago, and then, he just hasn't called me.
But you haven't done 8 weeks of rumination.
Because I did the hi-bye letter too soon.
I got it. So you are 2 weeks into this 8-week series, is that correct?
That's correct.
I want you to understand that men oftentimes, especially right-handed, is he right-handed?
I believe so.
Pardon?
Yes, I believe so.
If he's right-handed, he thinks, he feels, he ruminates until he realizes that he wants you, misses you, or he doesn't. So you have 6 more weeks of doing nothing, passive, patient, vulnerable, to see. Men often get in touch with their feelings when they're away from us. When they're with us, they have a tendency to be secure. We're there.
Yeah.
Do you see? So why don't we just give him 6 weeks?
Pardon?
Give him 6 weeks before you take his name out of your, database.
Okay. Can I ask you one last question?
Go ahead.
Should I be concerned that he was very cherishing in the beginning? Like, if I cut my hand or something, he'd be like, oh, let me kiss it better. And then as time progressed, our communication became totally about sex.
I want you to understand, cherishing for men is very, very regularly sensual and sexual. I recommend the book, The Evolution of Desire, David Buss. Harvard did the big study, 10,000 people. Why, sir, did you mate or marry this person? 2/3, sensual and sexual stability. 1/3, status and financial stability. Little gigolos. 2/3 of women mate and marry for status and financial stability. 1/3 for sensual and sexual. They're called cougars. So in your case, I am afraid that you may be an alpha with a brain and a heart, but apparently when you start, you're in your heart, but then you climb into your intellectual brain, and then seems like you judge or want to change or get mad at him because he doesn't know as much about himself as you wanted him to know. But he did confess to you, I feel feelings for my ex. And that's where it started to go south. So you're now in 2 weeks of the 8-week rumination period, which is a neurobiological period of time. The first time I read about that was in Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics. Apparently, we ruminate for 6 to 8 weeks when we're making major emotional decisions, divorce, marriage, flirting, doing whatever. Okay? So give him 6 more weeks without intellectually teaching, preaching, calling, chasing him. Will you do that?
Yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, caller. Okay. Okay, you guys. We've missed some of your calls. So 323-203-0815. If you don't get through the first time, don't get discouraged. Try again. And there you are. 1 second. There we go. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Allen. I have a question for you. What is it a man who is a chaplain or minister automatically feminine?
No. He is always alpha. For example, when a man uses his brains in a people-helping business, doctors, any man who basically cares enough about human beings is very often alpha.
Got it.
And for that reason, but that does not mean that he is more female than male. He's both, but an alpha human being can be a man 1 minute and be a woman, a female, the next, or yin or yang. I use that. They have multiple choice. Betas tend to be either intellectually oriented, which is fine, but they inevitably like to be with people that are sensitively oriented. And between the two of them, they create a balance. But two alphas are four people balancing. So they very often have to learn to speak, I think, how do you feel? How can I help us feel better? Or I don't feel very good. What do you think about doing this? And what can I do to help us do better? There's a greater complexity.
Mm-hmm. What I'm getting more is that he's definitely alpha.
Okay. So he has. And that very often, I'm going to say something. Very often, people think that those people that are thinkers and feelers are gay. They think that we all are either one or the other, when many, 20% of the population is alpha, which means they're complicated human beings who have a thinking brain and a feeling heart. They have a great temptation to knock out one or the other because they're lonely. There's not as many alphas out there as there are betas. 80% of the population are betas. They're more distinctly thinkers or distinctly feelers. And alphas go both ways. So very often, they're misjudged as gay. And some women don't like that. Like, your question sounded like it's a turnoff for you if he's in a people service business, because that might indicate that he is basically more yin than yang. Is that correct?
I was concerned that he was more yin than yang, yeah.
Okay. And what evidence did you have?
He listens a lot to me.
You mean he cherishes you more than the natural beta man who's talking and doing, and you better do it his way or else?
Yes, he does.
Well,
he does.
And you are an alpha or a beta?
I am an alpha.
I know that. And you have days in your brain and days in your heart. Is that correct?
Correct.
And do you ever get into competition with men for brains and heart exchange?
Absolutely. Not with him, though.
Well, not with him.
He
can handle the two of you.
Yeah, I feel very secure with him. He's very calm and calming, and I feel soothed and turned on by him.
I've got news for you. His brain tells him how to deal with you, because he has his masculine likes your feminine, and his feminine likes your masculine.
I think so. That's what I feel. And I feel turned on by him just by, I don't know, it's very interesting.
Well, why don't you just keep on practicing being an alpha with an alpha?
I guess I will. My brain is going, he's a chaplain. You can't friggin' be with a chaplain? That's crazy. He doesn't,
No. Nope, nope. As far as I know, the only chaplains that don't marry are Catholic. I'm Catholic, so I know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you, Pat Allen.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, hi. This is Denise with Denise and John. My question is, Dr. Pat, John talks, as an alpha male, he talks at times about wanting to have time alone.
Yes, and very much so.
So can you talk a little bit about that, the importance of that?
I'm telling you, each of us are either introverts or extroverts. I'm an introvert. I'm a talkative introvert, but I have to be alone a big hunk of my time because I talk to myself. Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud had a session, and they said, you know what? People, like women, gather data with their senses, and then feeling-wise, decide if they like it or they don't. And masculine parts of us think about what we want and then intuitively go for it. But then Carl Jung added the concept of introvert and extrovert. So there are people that get their strokes by being with people. And there are people who can't be with people as much as extroverts. They have to be alone, or the anxiety becomes almost like, it feels like I'm one of those ducks that they stuff so that they can make that liver.
What kind of foie gras, goose.
Foie gras, the goose. Yeah. You know, it from the outside, I, Pat Allen, look like I'm absolutely berserkly in love with being with zillions of people. Well, the truth of the matter is, I go to sleep at 12 at midnight, and I wake up automatically at 5, and I have at least 2-3 hours of being alone with myself. So, introvert, extrovert, feel, yeah. Think, sense, intuit.
And what about taking trips away, you know, from the relationship, like going away a couple of days or...
You mean alone?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's called shopping in San Francisco, going fishing. People that are secure together, and they're secure apart.
Okay. And the other thing is, can you talk a little bit, too, about, I want to know, or John and I have discussed, he's an alpha male, and the difference between an alpha woman being a beta, can you talk a little bit about that, too, Pat?
A beta woman is a wonderful, wonderful woman. She's very, very much into sensuous. She's not too interested in books. She's not too interested in PhDs. She really loves loving people. She makes a wonderful wife and an absolute superb companion and a wonderful mother. But she's not. You know, it's so interesting. I have dated. I've been married a few times and whatever. It's so wonderful. Men think they would love to be with a really smart, intelligent woman. But then they notice, wait a minute, I've got a beautiful, smart, intelligent woman, but she's not really tied to her home very much. I'm one of those women. So being married to me is like living in the library. I mean, I'm nice, I'm fun, but I'm predominantly intellectual. So we each tilt one way or the other. Now, alpha men adore beta women because they're easy to be with. Alpha men and with alpha women really sometimes have a hard time. It's so equal, it's competitive.
Well, I'm 50 now, Pat, and I like the brains now.
So you
I'm
like
looking
what?
At the brains. I'm glad she's intelligent.
I
now.
Got it, because you're getting more into your feminine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the wonder of nature setting up a balancing act. So I see that. I have a DVD set that I did for the over 50 relationship, which is about the equality of women as they mature. But beta people basically stay either in their head or they stay in their feelings. And they're fine. That's the way they live. What TV show? What was that one with the woman that was a homemaker? She was kind of it was a really popular show.
The Brady Bunch?
No. It's
Leave It to Beaver?
No, it was, he was kind of very restrictive, the guy, and the woman was, she was just...
Married with Children?
No, that's one, but there's another one. You'll laugh when you think of it, but I can't think of it right now. Period.
How did you like Charlie Sheen with Two and a Half Men?
Two and a Half Men?
Well, yes, with Charlie Sheen. Wasn't that interesting?
Charlie, he was an alpha male who lived both sides, his feminine and his masculine, on screen and off.
Yes, that was my life also, Pat, until I grew up.
Okay. So now that you're grown up, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm praying, and I'm just letting everything be. I'm just trying to be the best person I can be and just enjoying the moment, staying
Good.
In the moment.
Excellent.
And respecting women, finally.
Respecting women?
Respecting
Dharma
the church.
And Greg.
Well, yes.
Hey, Pat, Denise is over here saying, cherishing. I'm cherishing Denise.
But you also are not competitive enough to compete with her brains so that she does feel cherished.
Did you say that again, Pat?
What I said was, you're getting to the place where you're cherishing, but the cherishing is based on respecting. Now you respect and cherish each other.
Yes.
That's what happens if we are smart. We don't compete with each other. I think, I want, I feel, I don't want. Very competitive. I think, how do you feel? I feel, what do you think? Is better as we mature.
Yeah, I never thought I could lay next to a woman in bed and not have sex with her. But it's been a real educational experience in the sight of beauty.
That's what maturity brings.
Yes, thanks, Pat. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
See you at the Marriott.
You're welcome.
See you at the Marriott. Thank you both. All right, Dr. Allen, we are getting right out of time again. We have so much fun, and I would like
to... Did you have that question?
Oh, you know what? We didn't, but we will get to it next week.
Oh.
Because we are just out of time. But I want to know what you have to say, and then I'll do a little bit of business, and then we'll be done for the night.
Great. Okay, I'm going to say the same thing. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. That's called negotiating.
That's fantastic. Everybody, we want to once again thank our sponsor, the One Institute. And I want to remind you that the One Institute offers coaches and facilitators to help educate clients and participants, teaching them proven, innovated, and patented want training principles. Learn how to talk the way you are supposed to be successful in your relationships. And if you would like more information, and I'm sure that you would, please contact info@wantinstitute.org. Take a cruise through wantinstitute.org's website and see what's going on. We've got upcoming training sessions. And we have upcoming seminar dates, and some of this stuff is really fantastic and cutting edge. Also, once again, I want to remind everybody that very exciting news. We will be at the new location, September 14th, 2015, where Dr. Pat Allen will do her wonderful seminar. Bigger venue, that is the Marriott, 63333 Bristol Parkway, Culver City. Visit www.drpatallen.com to find more information about that. Let me see what else. We had some more business. I think that might be it, though. We want you to follow us on Facebook. Find Dr. Allen's products at wantistore.com. And keep coming back to visit with us, Dr. Allen.
I'll remember that TV show.
Dharma and Greg?
What?
Was it Dharma and Greg?
No, it was that funny lady. She was kind of beta ditzy. And he was really prejudicial.
I want to say I Love Lucy?
No.
No. I Dream of Jeannie.
He was, you know.
What era is it from?
Oh, it's back there. And it was a long time. She was a classic actress.
Donna.
Wait. George and Gracie?
Well, no. George and Gracie Allen, no. It was a TV show.
He was very
prejudicial. He was very bossy.
Oh, I know exactly who it is.
Who is it?
All in the Family. Archie Bunker. Is that one?
Archie Bunker,
yeah. And then she was like, Edith Bunkin. She was like, hi, yeah. Archie. And he was like, get out of here. You're driving me crazy.
Wow. See?
Pow! Not Greasy Allen, but yeah, just Archie Bunker.
Okay.
So that was All in the Family, definitely. Okay. So that's our show for tonight. Thank you, everyone, once again for coming and being with us. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.